We're going to kick off again our another session of our Wise Guy series. But as we do, I started thinking about, the other day I was standing in line at the grocery store, and I came across one of these great magazines. I don't know if you see them in there, and they have all these great things. And I just thought I'd share some really, you know, important news that's going on in our world with you guys, and I thought you might really want to be a part of knowing about it. So I noticed here, I was looking through this and found that Ben Affleck was looking at a classic Cadillac, and it seemed like he had car trouble, and that happened on July 18th. So that's important. That's good stuff, yeah. Also, Woody Harrelson, he was hydrating at Wimbledon. He actually drank some water there. According to this, it was on July 15th. He was drinking water at Wimbledon. So that's fascinating stuff. So I know this is too good for you, but we've got more. Reese Witherspoon and her son named Tennessee, 4 years old, they dozed off on a hammock. They took a nap on July 16th. It's pretty cool. Yeah, so good stuff. I mean, we can keep going here. Jennifer Lawrence was in L.A. on June 27th, taking her dog Pippi for a walk. He must have gotten tired because she started carrying him. So that's exciting stuff. And then also, I didn't want to pass up the fact that Katie Holmes had brunch one day, and Justin Bieber was looking for a friend when he was in a department store. So just so you know, there's some really good stuff out there, some really juicy news for you to learn about, some things that I think is really important for us. But actually, it is kind of funny. You think about, why do we care about other people this much, you know, in this setting? But we are just fascinated with gossip and news, aren't we? I mean, we're just like, we want to know. We want to know what's happening with people. We want to know those things. And really, this is something that's kind of gotten into even bigger here. Have you heard the old fake news stuff on the internet? What's real? What's not? And what do you know? And what's there? And I mean, sometimes you read an article about somebody, and is it true or is it not? And then we go and tell somebody else, and it spreads. But the reality of it is we've been doing this for years, even since we were kids, you know? Maybe not with the internet, maybe not with the magazines and the tabloids and all that kind of stuff, but we've been talking about people. I remember when I was a kid being outside playing and someone would say something mean to you, or they would say something about you, or they would either talk about a rumor or make something up or say you did something. It would be really hurtful. And I remember they'd be saying all that, and then you would be, then to your mind would come and you remember the great song and rhyme that you learned that was going to help you work through this. And it was simply this. They would say something mean and you'd look at them and you'd say, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me." And then, of course, you really want to know, she'd say it even louder, "Sticks and stones will break my bones and words will never hurt me." And you start singing it, "Sticks and stones will break my bones and words will never hurt me." And you do it like that, and then all of a sudden you start thinking, wait a minute, if they really do want to hurt me, am I giving them permission to start throwing sticks and stones at me? Because I don't want that either. You know, but the idea is that we do get to this point where we try this defense. And I know why we teach our kids this, or why I was taught this, is because we want people to know that, yeah, words can damage. But you know, if you could just put up a wall in defense, then maybe it wouldn't hurt so bad. But the reality of it is we really would saying sticks and stones may break my bones, but man, your words are going to hurt me more than you ever imagined. That's really what we're saying. That's really what we're feeling inside. And so for me, when I was in high school, I used to love to use this phrase. I always say, "I am rubber and you are glue. Whatever you say bounces off me and sticks to you." And they'd be like, "What?" I'd say, "Yeah, say something because it will come right back to you." So, you know, it was kind of my self-defense. I did it to be funny, but in reality, you know, it was self-defense and trying to protect myself from being hurt and all that kind of stuff. But really, really, when we think about it, there really are a lot of these issues with this. And we start thinking through how we don't like to be hurt. And there's a lot of things that are said and a lot of things that can cause damage and scars and hurts and pains and all that kind of stuff. And so for us in this series, Wise Guy, we've been looking at Proverbs and wisdom on how we can grow in our relationships with God and with ourselves and improve relationships with other people, and how we can use the wisdom from Proverbs to shape and help our lives and be better in a lot of ways. Today, we're going to be continuing that, but we're going to be focusing a little bit more on focusing on gossip and then also something called slander. Now, the key verse that I'm going to be using comes from Proverbs 17:9, and it says this. It says, "Whoever conceals an offense promotes love, but whoever gossips about it separates friends." Whoever conceals an offense promotes love, but whoever gossips about it separates friends. And for us, when we begin to think about that, is that how often do we want to reveal offenses rather than conceal an offense? And therefore, today, our main point, the main idea that we're going to get out of this, is what we say about others can promote love or separate friends. What we say about people, it either is going to potentially promote love or it can divide, hurt, or separate friendships that are there. So what we say about people, it does matter. It does make a difference. It can hurt, it can damage, it can create issues. Can damage relationships at home, at school, at work, at church, in the community, and wherever you go. And actually, it can even go all over the world. Now, you can put something online on the internet and damage relationships with groups of people and organizations and things all over the planet. And it can be very, very damaging. So let's look and see what is it that these definitions mean. Because for me, I'm thinking, okay, what is it that I'm actually doing? And I want to make sure I'm not doing. But before we do, one of the things I want us to begin to really think about is this. So often when we hear a message about something, it's real easy to think about the person that we wish was here to hear it. Today, I want to challenge us to pray and ask God to say, what part do I play in gossip and slander? Because for me personally, when I started looking through this, I'm thinking, I don't slander. I definitely don't do that. And gossip, yeah, I don't do that too much. And as I began to look at this and see what it means and what it is, I'm like, wait a minute. Man, God's got work to do on me. I got some areas in my life I need to begin to see maybe I'm not living the way that I need to, reflecting Christ the way I need to. So with here, let's look at what slander means. Slander is an accusation maliciously uttered with the purpose or effect of damaging the reputation of another. And we think about that, it's something that it could be a problem or an issue. And it continues on to say this. It says, as a rule, it is a false charge, but it may be a truth circulated insidiously and with a hostile purpose. So here's the thing. According to legal reasons, we begin to see that legally you might not be charged with slander unless it is a false charge or unless you do extreme damage or a reputation is hurt and they can prove that your words did that. But according to the Bible, when the Bible uses the word slander, it oftentimes refers to it being either a true or a false statement that is out to hurt or damage a reputation. Now, when we look at slander is something that's not only used for an individual person, but it could be for a group of people, or it could even be for an organization or a company as well. And so we begin to think about that. That's any time that we say something with the intent to damage someone's reputation. We're saying things in a way that's done that help. Our goal is to shape someone else's view in a negative way of somebody else. And we're going to hurt someone else's view of somebody. And so we say things that may be true or false. And that moves into slander. I start thinking about that and I realize I probably do that sometimes when I'm hurt or when I'm angry. And it's not good. And gossip is probably even a more widespread problem. It's one that we kind of minimize sometimes. We think, it's not that big of a deal. But what is gossip? We look at gossip here and we see gossip is a rumor or talk of a personal or sensational, and I put here defining sensational, meaning arousing intense interest and excitement or startling, or an intimate nature. The second part of it is this, a person who habitually spreads intimate or private rumors or facts. And even more, there's a sentence that kind of explains this, and it says this, a friend who passes on the secrets of other friends but asks you not to tell is an example of a gossip. Well, that last part right there kind of got me. Have you ever said something, well, you know, let me tell you this, but don't tell anybody. No one else needs to know. I'm like, I think the person who told me kind of told me that too. You don't tell anybody because no one else needs to know. And I'm thinking, I'm passing it on. And it's kind of a problem though. And so for us, what happens is Proverbs kind of explains, here's what a gossip is and here's what we should do when we start hearing people do that and seeing people do that. And we see Proverbs 20:19, it says, the one who reveals secrets is a constant gossip. Avoid someone with a big mouth. Wow. So if you're telling secrets of information, what secrets are really is any information you have of somebody that you don't have permission to share. It's not your news to share. Sometimes it's good news. Sometimes it's good things. I know sometimes if someone's getting ready to have a baby or something like that, that's good news. But really, if they say, you know, if they might not want it shared yet, and if we go around telling people, even though we think, oh, well, it won't matter because they don't really know them, it's not our news to share yet. Once it's public and they put it out there, then it can be news that we can share. And sometimes we want to jump ahead and be the ones to share other people's news. And so with that, the truth of it is, though, it says we really should avoid someone who does that. And in fact, I know a lot of times at the workplace, I've heard said that sometimes you're in an environment at work where it's really tough because people kind of jump in and they're complaining, they're gossiping, and they're talking about people, and it's really difficult. And I encourage you as you kind of go through this that we're going to be promoting love and encouraging not to do that. But then sometimes it's hard to avoid it, especially if they work in, around you and you can't get away from it. Maybe you can find ways to do that, or maybe you can be the first one to step out and start saying, you know what, I don't need that. In fact, have you ever heard someone, you've ever started a conversation and make that statement and say, I know I shouldn't tell you this, but our response really should be, well, you know, do I need to know this? I mean, is this something that I really know? Because if you shouldn't tell me, I don't want to put you in an awkward situation telling someone else's secrets or something about someone else. If we were to make that statement there and become more bold about that, the other person, the one, they'll stop probably doing that. And secondly, it kind of reminds us, hey, maybe we need to be careful what we share about people and what we say. But the truth of it is, what we oftentimes do is a little different, right? We typically, when someone says, hey, I really shouldn't tell you this, and we kind of do this number, we kind of lean in and go, what is it? You know, we want to know. Well, tell me the juicy news. And we tend to want to know, and it's so hard not to want to know. It's like, oh, you know something I don't know. I need to know it, you know, and you kind of get all worked up over it. And so for us, what we realize is that Proverbs describes this as more of like a choice food. Imagine having a great meal. Well, Proverbs says gossip is this. It says a gossip's words are like choice food that goes down to one's innermost being. It's kind of like we can't help it. You know, you go to a buffet and you see the chocolate fountain and you want the chocolate. You know, you just want to eat it. You know, you see something that's delicious and you just want it. And gossip to us sometimes is that way, isn't it? We just want to hear. We want to know more. We want to know all the things about people we shouldn't. We want to know it, you know, until we continue to lean in when we probably should avoid. So we think about, why do we do this? If we know deep down it's wrong and it's not best and it can hurt and damage people, and some of us have been hurt and damaged by gossip and rumors and things said. So what do we do? Why do we gossip? Well, I think there's several reasons why. One of them is control. For me, I'm always somebody who have realized over the past years that I love to control my circumstances. I want my life to fit and be a certain way. And when it's kind of out of sync or out of balance, I like to control things and try to fix stuff so that my life is comfortable and right back where it should be. And if somebody hurts me or has an offense against me, oftentimes we want to control that. And we can do that by talking about them, spreading things about them, so we get other people to join in. We get other people to think the same thing so that I can then get back control of my life and where I'm at. Sometimes spreading gossip or slander is the idea of controlling things, of trying to fix things that we think are broken in our lives. Another reason is to feel superior. It's feel superior. The idea that that somehow in our minds, and this is not a correct thinking, but if we feel like somebody, if we can say something negative about somebody, then that person there, we can lower who they are and what people's view of them, then all of a sudden now it elevates me. And now I'm better than them because now I've revealed their deepest, darkest secrets. And so therefore you will like me better than you like them. The reality of it is it doesn't work that way. What often happens is you tell somebody, hey, there's a deep, dark secret about somebody, and now we kind of get a point where we make you feel like you don't really need to be around them. They actually may lower their view of that person and probably will lower their view of that person, but oftentimes their view of us is also lowered. It doesn't raise it up. Very rarely we hear, you know what? Because you told me that about them, I am definitely going to stay away from them, and you know what? I just like you so much more now that you told me that. I mean, we don't hear that, do we? We don't hear that. In fact, we think, wow, what happens when I leave? Are you going to talk about me? What happens when I share something with you? You're not going to be trustworthy now. I've lost my trust and be able to talk to you, and therefore my view of you actually goes down. So this desire to feel superior, actually the opposite thing takes place. And we actually get viewed by others in a more negative way, and that doesn't help our relationships at all. Another reason we gossip or slander is for attention. It's simply put, we want to belong, we want to be a part of a group, we want attention, we want to be the first to reveal secrets. We want to be the first ones out there that share something. And I think that's why Twitter is such a popular thing out there, is because people can put whatever they want in just a few seconds. It's out there, and they can be the first to spread news, and then they check the facts later, you know? And then we'll see later if it's true. But hey, if they happen to get it right, wow, I'm so great. You were the first one to get it. The problem is that a lot of these people, especially they're trying to make it into the news circles and different things like that, they actually get credit for it. And it does elevate their work status, and it does elevate them, and they get more followers, and they get more advertisements and those things. So in a sense, it kind of does help them to be the first, even if it's not. The problem is it damages people. It damages people's reputation. And we don't want people to say false things about us, because even once things are said, once people say things, then guess what? We turn around, even though they say, oh, I was wrong, people still keep that idea and view of that person. And it can be damaging. Another reason that we gossip or slander is boredom. Yep, we're sitting around, we don't have anything else to talk about. I heard something, hey, let me tell you about this news, and we just share something about somebody. Really, the problem and solution there, the problem is we don't have enough things to talk about with people. The solution is just be more creative with coming up with creative ways to talk to people and having conversation starters that really work with that. But the last one, I think, is the one that's probably that really dives into the idea of slander is anger, the idea of anger. When we get angry with somebody, when we're angry because we feel like we were wronged, or they're not behaving the way we think they should, or they're not doing things the way we want them to, or they've hurt us, or they've offended us, or any of those kind of things, we feel like it's up to us to get other people to buy in and justify our feelings. You see, to me, if I can talk to 4 and 5 and 6 other people and they all agree that what that person did was wrong or it's not correct and I'm right, then I justify my anger, I justify my feelings, and then I justify my ability to say I have a right now to speak harshly or wrong about you because you're not doing it the way that I want you to. You're not living the way I want you to. You're not acting the way I think you should. And so therefore, anger is what drives us. And this is really what slander is. And you could say, but it's true. And I'm just trying to let people know the truth. Well, that's slander too. When we look at the Bible, and it's hurtful and it's damaging. And we're revealing offenses rather than concealing those offenses. Aristotle was quoted as saying this. He said, anyone can be angry. That is easy. But to be angry with the right person to the right degree at the right time for the right purpose and in the right way, well, that's not easy. That's a tough one. I mean, it's easy to be angry, and we all get angry. We all do. But what we do with that anger, what we say to other people out of anger can shape people's relationships with each other and shape the relationships with us. You see, what we say about others can promote love, or it can separate friends. It can damage relationships and hurt people. So we need to ask ourselves the question, is what we're about to share with this person, is it promoting love? Is it helping to restore a relationship that's broken? Is this going to damage even further? One thing that I often say to many people about what we should say and how our words matter is this. I oftentimes say, we need to make sure that we're talking to the right people about the right things and in the right way. We need to always make sure we're talking to the right people about the right things and in the right way. So when you're thinking about talking to the right people, who are the right people? We ask ourselves the question, is this the best person that I need to be talking to right now? Now, I know on occasions, there are some things that make us really frustrated, we're really angry, we're really hurt, and we just kind of need that person to vent with. And I get that. And if you have that kind of person, make sure it's a trustworthy person. make sure it's somebody who's probably not closely involved in the situation, and also make sure it's somebody who has the wisdom to pull you back off the ledge a little bit, you know, and say, all right, now let's talk about how do we restore that relationship. So go into, if you need to have that venting process, keep it to one, don't have a dozen people, and then don't do it on Facebook, you know, let's kind of keep it down to a point where we're trying to understand that, yes, sometimes I need to get it out, because sometimes getting it out, you realize, oh yeah, what am I saying here? And so sometimes in a healthy environment, we can do that. But the right person really, as Matthew 18 talks about here, if someone has an offense against us, it says this, if your brother sins against you, go and rebuke him in private. Now understand, rebuke is not this harsh yelling and screaming and complaining at somebody. It doesn't mean you're running in and you're like letting them have it. That's not what rebuke means. The idea is that you're gonna go and have a real heart-to-heart, heartfelt discussion with them. You're gonna be honest, speak the truth and love, and really be understanding that you're there to promote restoration and you're there to promote love. And so then, if he listens to you, you've won your brother. You've restored that relationship. If they say, wow, I'm so sorry, I did not know that made you feel that way. You've begun to restore that relationship. But if he won't listen, then take one or two or more with you so that by the testimony of the two or three witnesses, every fact may be established. Sometimes if someone's not responsive, you can walk out of a room or a situation where you've talked about it and then things are said and it's made worse sometimes. And you know what I'm talking about? So sometimes you're like, whoa, those things weren't said. So you need to take someone else with you to clarify facts, to establish truth, and to make sure things are said in a way that's helpful and encouraging. You know, we have a tendency to try to get people on our side. We have that tendency to really try to make sure that we get everybody around us to buy in to why we feel the way we feel. And so really what Matthew's saying here is don't do that. Don't go around to all your peers and all the different people and try to get everybody on your side to be thinking this way or that. And then you go to them and say, all right, now that everybody agrees with me, you need to do this. Whoa, you didn't even give them the opportunity to talk. And that's can be very damaging as well. Be careful that we don't do that. We also need to make sure we're talking about the right things. We're talking to the right people. We need to talk about the right things to people. Have you ever gotten a conversation with somebody and you're talking to the right person and you really do need to say something to them, but then we add a whole bunch of other stuff we probably shouldn't need to add. Maybe we need to cut out sometimes half of what we say in order to make sure we're promoting love and restoring relationships. You know, in fact, Proverbs 21:23 says this. It says, the one who guards his mouth and tongue keeps himself out of trouble. We need to guard our mouth and tongue. We need to really think through what we're saying and making sure that the things we're saying is honoring God and promoting a relationship with him, promoting relationships with each other and restoring those relationships. Also Ephesians says this, no foul language is to come from your mouth, but only what is good for building up someone in need so that it gives grace to those who hear. So here's a couple things we see. We're gonna talk about the right things. What we're talking about here is to say things that build other people up. My goal in my conversation should not be to make people behave or fix someone else's problems. My goal should be to help them take one step closer to restoration to any relationship they have with God, with others, or with me. And that's my goal, is that am I building it up? And if I do that, guess what? The people that I'm talking to, I'm giving them gift of grace to those who hear. If I love people and the words I say, the people that are hearing those words are receiving a gift of grace that I'm giving them. And that's a pretty cool thing. And so we also need to do it in the right way. So we talk to the right people about the right things in the right way. And when we think about the right way, there's really three aspects of that. There's the right approach, the right attitude, and the right motives. And so we think about the right approaches. Anytime you want to talk to somebody, I know for me, oftentimes I'll run conversations in my head. Are you that way? You know, we're like, all right, I got to talk to them about this issue. And you've run 40 conversations in your head. Sometimes, you know, they pull out boxing gloves. They start punching in the face after you say it. Or maybe sometime they, you know, you come up with all these scenarios of what's going to happen. The reality of it is what we're doing is kind of a healthy thing to some degree. We can't obsess over that. But the idea is that you see, all right, I need to approach it in a way that I think they'll be able to hear because my goal is love. My goal is restoration. And so what we need to do is start off in a very positive way. There was a friend of mine when I was at one time, I remember talking to him on the phone, and they said something to me that was really hurtful. And I responded back, and I was just like, man, I just let them have it. And I was truthful. Everything I said was true, but I let them have it. It was really hurtful. And I got off the phone, and someone looked at me and said, wow, cannot believe you said that. I was really convicted by it. And so I put this verse up on my wall, and it's Proverbs 15:1. It says this, a gentle answer turns away anger, but a harsh word stirs up wrath. Now, I've used this verse before in times, and I'll probably use this verse over and over again. It's a verse that I've held on to. It's a verse that I want to make sure that I'm communicating the way that I speak to people. I want to respond gently to people first, because I know if I respond in harshness and anger, I'm not going to get a good response back. That approach is not going to work well. And so we need to make sure that our approach is done in a way that people will be receptive and hear it. We also need to have the right attitude. Need to have the right attitude. Our attitude and how we talk to people, is it promoting love or is it separating friends? Philippians 2:14 says this. It says, do everything without grumbling and arguing so that no one can criticize you. I think this is really interesting. Obviously, it says don't do everything without grumbling. Another version says complaining, arguing. His idea is that are we going and talking about people, complaining and grumbling and arguing and making it worse? The thing it says right here that I think is really interesting is it says if we do this, it says then people will criticize us. You see, when we complain to others and argue about people and talk bad about people, we're the ones that oftentimes get criticized. We think, hey, I get them on my side, they'll think bad of them. They may, but they also can criticize us as well. And so we ask ourselves, does our attitude convey to others that are we complaining, arguing, or are we loving people? And the third part about doing it the right way is the motive, having the right motive. And we're using our words, are we talking about others? Why are we doing it? Why are we telling people about this offense and this hurt or this thing? Why are we sharing this gossip? Why are we talking about someone in a way that could be hurtful or damaging the reputation? What are we trying to accomplish with that? Ephesians 4:32 says this. It says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as God also forgave you in Christ. If our goal is restoration, then shouldn't our goal be this? To be kind and compassionate to one another, even though they've hurt me, forgiving one another just as also God forgave you. God has forgiven us. Now here's the deal. There are some things in life, there's some times that we are hurt so badly and so damaged, and there's so many things that we do need to step back from a relationship or something that we've got to figure out how to do. And we need counselors in our lives. Or maybe you've been hurt and you're trying to deal with some things. Maybe you need to come to Celebrate Recovery. We have on Monday nights that helps with a group of people walk you through hurts, habits, or hangups. There are some situations where you need to seek counseling and some stuff like that. I'm not saying if you're in a situation that's really damaging, hurting you or others, that you just say, it's okay, I forgive you. I'm not saying that. So I want you to be careful with that. Seek help with that and talk if you're in that. What I'm talking about are things that are kind of day-to-day things. You know, complaining and hurts and offenses that we hold on to. You know, just as we want to seek restoration with people in our own lives, we need to seek restoration with God. You see, God is a holy God who loves us. And maybe we're in a place now where we see, you know what? I do gossip and slander more than I thought. And you know what? That's an offense, and it's an offense to God. It's the reason why we're separated from God, and there's a problem. It's called a sin problem. And maybe it's not gossip, maybe it's not slander, but maybe it's a bunch of other things. And for us, we need to be restored to God, and God himself wants to be in that relationship with us. But because of our sin, we can't be good enough and fix that on our own. I can't do it on my own. I can't all of a sudden say, well, I'm not gonna gossip tomorrow, so therefore, God, I'm okay. I still have an offense. I've still hurt someone. I've still sinned against God, and so therefore I've got to owe that payment. That payment of separation from God, I don't want to, but I owe it. And so what God does, because he loves us so much, is he sent his son Jesus Christ to earth to live a perfect life, to never sin, to die on the cross and to rise again. And because of that, when God looks at me and says, Kevin, why shall I let you into my heaven? I would say, you shouldn't. I've gossiped. I've slandered people. I've hurt people. You should not do it. And I say, but God, Jesus, he lived a perfect life. He didn't deserve to die. Would you accept his death on the cross in my place? And God would say, yes, you're forgiven. Your relationship is restored to me because of my faith and trust I put in what Jesus did, not on how I could fix it. And so when we do that, we begin to see our relationship with others and God is being restored. And we can begin to truly see what Proverbs says here in Proverbs 17:9. And when it says this, whoever conceals an offense promotes love, whatever gossips about it separates friends. When I was in college, there was a friend of mine, we were driving back, saw a movie together, and we pulled up next to the dorm, and he stopped and said, before we go in, I want to tell you something. He told me a secret about his life, something that was going on, something that really couldn't be fixed, but if it got out, it could really damage and hurt him. And he said, I'm telling you because I need to tell someone, I need someone to pray for me. So I stopped and I prayed for him right there. And I continued to talk to him and we talked about it. And I remember it was about a year later, he asked me a question. We were talking about Becca, who at that time was my fiance, who is now my wonderful, amazing, beautiful wife, which I'm so thankful. But at that time he said, he mentioned her knowing about that. And I looked at him, I said, no, I never told her. He said, you never told her you're engaged? I said, no, you told me not to tell anyone. You see, that's the kind of person that I want to be. But here's the problem. I am really pretty good if someone comes to me and says, Kevin, don't tell anyone. I gotcha. I got your back. Here's where I struggle. I heard about it secondhand, third hand, fourth hand, fifth hand, heard it around the grapevine. And so now I feel like I'm at liberty to share that with other people. You know, and all of a sudden it's like, well, I guess everyone else knows. And so I share it. And I don't go to the source. I don't, one, find out if it's true, or two, find out if it's my news to share, if it's my information to share. And then my view of people is shaped, and I've shaped other people's view of others. So really when it comes down to this, what if we stop for just a moment, made sure that we talk to the right people, make sure we're talking about the right things, not too much information, just what right things we need to share. And what if we did it in the right way to promote love, encourage others, and build relationships? If we do that, then what we say about others can promote love, and we don't end up separating friends. We don't end up damaging those relationships. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you so much for your grace and your truth. I thank you, God, that you love us and that through your son, Jesus Christ, we can have a relationship with you. I pray that we would look to you and seek you. And God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would live in us and begin to show us and enable us to live in a way that's able to not gossip or slander, to begin to limit that, to make progress in that area. God, that we become more like Christ in the way we speak to other people and we could promote love. We thank you, God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.